Time to talk cameras, digital and film and lenses with Brian Carlos, store manager for The Camera Company on Odana Road in Madison. Their website is cameracompany.com. We'll look forward to visiting with Brian. He's been with us a number of times over the last 3-4 years, and I'm always glad to have him back. And certainly, if you have questions, be it digital or film related or lens related, feel free to join in. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison, reach us at 263-1890. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty fast here. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show, Jim.
Let's talk about megapixels first, because we really are seeing, well, maybe first you should define megapixels for people, but because I think there's some confusion. You'll see 4 megapixels or 6, or not 4 so much anymore, but 6 or 8 or 10.
And even 12 sometimes.
And even 12 sometimes. Yeah. What's the, should we be all rushing out to get 10 megapixel cameras? Or?
No. The best reasons to buy new cameras these days aren't the pixels, or isn't the count of the pixels. First of all, what we mean by a pixel is the word itself stands for picture element, and it's just one specific little spot on the little mm-hmm. camera sensor that becomes basically a dot that goes into making up your picture. And in this case, mega, they're referring to a million. So when we have a 10 megapixel camera or 10.2, we have 10.2 million pixels in our picture.
It's a lot of pixels.
Yeah, it's a lot. And megapixels are only important up to a certain point. It's just that all those other features I alluded to, all those other really neat ones, are coming these days in cameras that are between 6 and 10 million pixels, even though 6 megapixels is plenty for a lot of our picture-taking needs, especially if it's just snapshots.
Yeah. 10, I suppose, if you want to blow up some pictures and things like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. And it also gives you a lot more room to crop with your pictures, too.
No. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, guess what? Every line is filled. Let's go to the phone.
Right.
Dennis in Eau Claire. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
What can
I
we
have a question on a couple of questions, actually.
Okay.
I have an older Konica Auto Reflex T SLR, and I have a lot of lenses for this camera, which are very good lenses. Konica merged with Minolta, I don't know, some time back, and now they went out of business last year. Do you know if these lenses will fit any other digital camera body? If so, what one?
Yeah, unfortunately, no, they're not going to fit any camera body. I think it was about, well, it was over 20 years ago that the Konica lens mount, they actually abandoned that lens mount, which is really in a way unfortunate because they made some very, very fine cameras and lenses. But there aren't going to be any new cameras available that are going to be able to take that lens mount, unfortunately.
Okay, and there's no way to convert the lens either to a different mount?
No, not really. Unfortunately, it's basically the equivalent would cost the equivalent of buying a new lens, so
yeah.
You're sort of in the boat of finding new lenses as it is.
Okay. Sorry.
I wish I had better news for you, though.
Yeah, right.
But you can always...
Well, it works very well on that camera yet.
Yes.
But,
and my feeling is as long as that camera works for you, I would certainly keep using it, because there's lots and lots of different options if you really want to work digitally of having your film scanned.
Right. I also have a question. I do a lot of work with a microscope, and I want to be able to take pictures on them, and so I'm going to be buying a trinocular scope. Mm-hmm. I also have a Sony DSCH1, which has the integral lens. Is there any way that I could connect that to there? I mean, I can make an adapter.
There potentially is, because the adapter itself is going to need to be a little bit more than just a metal tube to attach the camera to the scope. You're going you're going to actually need a little magnifier inside it to magnify the image so that you actually get a full image in your digital camera rather than just sort of a small speck at the end of the tube.
Oh, okay.
But there are many of the microscope manufacturers actually do make things like that, and there are many third-party companies that will fill that need for you. So there is certainly a possibility of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good luck. Thanks, Dennis, for calling. Appreciate it. And Ellen in Decorah, Iowa, it's your turn. Hi, Ellen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've been a pretty serious amateur photographer for 35 years or so, and I got into digital, and I love it. I have a couple of cameras I like a lot. I don't have an SLR yet because so far they've seemed to be too big and heavy for me to to use a lot, but I keep watching them. And the question I have is whether any of the cameras give you as much control over depth of field as an old SLR, where you turn the knob on the lens and you could preview what was going to be in focus and what was going to be out of focus.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and the answer is the answer is going to be yes, actually, to all your questions. You can control depth of field in the same way that you used to do with the film SLR, simply by controlling the aperture. That being one of the important factors that goes into determining what's going to be in critical focus in your picture.
Right.
You can still do that with a camera like this, much, much more easily than you can with a compact camera.
And you can actually see what you're going to get.
Yes.
As you're composing the picture?
Not as many cameras have that depth of field preview where it would stop down the lens, but that's not such a hindrance any longer because you can simply take an initial picture and review it and check it out.
Uh-huh.
And actually, in many ways, that works better than the depth of field preview because you can magnify, as you play it back, you can magnify on your little camera screen certain parts of the image to find out if they're in focus or not.
Right.
And a lot of today's digital SLRs are getting a lot smaller than they've ever been before,
right.
So it might be worth looking at.
I've been sort of watching that that movement. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling, Ellen. Appreciate it. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call, or in Madison at 263-1890. Cheryl in Oconomowoc, your turn. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Sure.
I just was talking to my daughter this weekend, and she was talking about buying a digital camera, and I had spoken up about my own digital camera. I was bemoaning the fact that I could not see exactly what I was photographing because I didn't have an SLR. And she wants to buy one, but her budget is small. And I was wondering if there's anything out there that could be recommended that would be a little less pricey.
What do you mean by, what's the price range we're talking here? Is it $300 or less?
I think less.
Less.
Okay. Well, there's still, the fact of the matter is there's still just fabulous cameras available for even in the $200 to $300 range.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to spend quite a ton of money like you used to.
Oh.
Even a year or two ago to get a very, very good camera, one that'll have actually better features than a camera twice its price, even a year and a half ago had. And most of today's digital cameras will, in a sense, show you exactly what you're going to get in the picture, because to make these little LCD screens on the back bigger and bigger, they've crowded out the little optical viewfinder, which was the part that was actually inaccurate. So now that you'll be staring at that little video screen on the back of the camera, you actually will get a very, very close idea of what's going to be in the picture.
Okay. All right.
What about the optical image that you see? If it's a bright day, I've had some trouble with one of my older cameras, being able to actually see.
Yes, I know. It's been a terrible, terrible problem with those, and that has always been the biggest drawback and the big need for having one of those optical viewfinders.
Right.
There have been slightly different styles of screen that have come out, which will initially, even in room light, look a little dimmer, but be much easier to see when you're in bright daylight.
Okay.
It's something that has improved greatly over the last few years.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl. Good luck. Tim in Milwaukee, it's your turn now. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Nikon D70. I've had it for 3 years, and I'm going to upscale to a Canon 5D to get the full frame and buy a couple good lenses for it, finally bust loose for once in my life. But my question is, any rumors about Canon coming back with rebates in the near future so I don't get burned and buy the camera, and then 3 weeks later there's a nice big rebate out.
There's always the threat of rebates. I think, unfortunately, a lot of these manufacturers have set themselves up for that, where they offer rebates so frequently in an effort to not have to change their prices or something or to attract more buyers that they all leave us waiting for the next rebate. Now, I forgot the exact date it started, but Canon does have a small rebate program going on some of their lenses right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
But I wouldn't expect anything else from them on the cameras and things.
But
not
they
right
did.
Now.
They did have like a 2-for-1, like if you bought a body and a lens.
Right.
It was a pretty substantial one. You know?
Yes, yes. So, I wouldn't expect anything like that anytime soon.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that.
All right, thank you for calling. And Mark in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good morning. Morning. Thanks for taking the call. I had a question. I'm in the market for a digital point-and-shoot camera, and I just wanted to find out if the manufacturers have made improvements lately in terms of the shutter leg, and what is the state of the art on that currently. I'll take my answer off the air, so thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. That's actually a great question, because that has always been the number one, one of the number one complaints mm-hmm. about digital cameras is that shutter lag. It's that pushing the button in a second and a half, it seems like, the longest second and a half of your life while you wait for the picture to actually be taken. And in most of today's cameras, that's virtually gone. Many manufacturers actually measure it in number of milliseconds between the push of the button and the time you actually get your picture.
Mm.
And it's such a minuscule number, it's almost meaningless. Your best bet is to simply stop by a store and take a few pictures with a variety of cameras, and you'll see there's a difference between some cameras. But if you've tried a camera even in the last couple of years and you want to try so many of them now, they're almost all going to be better.
Okay. Thanks again for calling. And once again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Rick in Madison, your turn. Hi, Rick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm interested in potentially getting a Panasonic DMC FZ8, and it's got a 12x zoom, and the downside of the camera is that because you have a small sensor size, so you can get a large zoom range in a small camera, you don't have very good low-light resolution. And I'm wondering if there are any other cameras out there that make a different set of trade-offs, like maybe a 8x zoom or 10x zoom, and have a larger sensor that gives you better low-light resolution. And a parallel question is the new one, the FZ8, gives you the option to do RAW, and then you can use your own processing programs. And I wonder if you have any comments on that.
Okay.
All right. Well, first of all, you've hit on the key problem, and you mentioned sensor size. And there's a very big contrast between what I like to call compact digital cameras, and these are usually cameras that are certainly very small, and they have a lens that's fixed on them rather than being interchangeable like the SLRs we're frequently referring to. And the big contrast between those two types of camera is the sensor size. And there really isn't much of a trade-off, except you have to go with one type of camera like the SLR, and if you shoot a lot in low light, certainly worth the jump to a single-lens reflex camera compared to any of the compact ones. More important, by the way, than pixel count. You could have a 10 or 12 million pixel compact camera and still get much better picture quality from your 6 megapixel SLR because of the size of that sensor. So, unfortunately, if you do want to maintain really good low light quality, having the bigger camera really helps. Although, that said, the processing inside the camera and the programming inside the camera has gotten much better over the last few years. So, even these compact cameras perform better in low light than they did in the past. Hmm.
And does that, having the RAW signal available, does that really get you any major improvement over the in-camera processors?
Well, it potentially can, but it also means that when you shoot in that RAW file, you have to process every single file yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And basically, that RAW file is just unprocessed information, information about what the camera was and how it was set when the picture was taken, information about the camera's internal software and how it was set when the picture was taken, and then all the information that is the light that's recorded as it hits the sensor. Usually what happens is your camera will then take all that information, process it, and turn it into something that's understandable by a computer, usually called a JPEG picture file. Mm-hmm. Well, in the case of a RAW file, you then have to go through and take those few extra steps and turn it into something recognizable yourself. And it can be a major advantage. It can be, but not necessarily. It just because it does require you to do a lot more work with your pictures.
Okay, thanks. It sounds like a single lens reflex is the jump to take. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Lynn in Hartford, your turn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Hey, I recently purchased a Canon S3 with a digital, with the 12X and then the digital zoom with it. And I've noticed when I take as much zoom as I can and get into the digital range, especially up tight, that when I, you know, it looks fine on the viewer screen, but when I look at it on, like, the computer screen, I get all these basically just little brown pixels on there that don't seem to match anything. I'm trying to understand kind of the limitations of the digital zoom and how to kind of compensate or overcome, or is there any sort of a compensation for those? I mean, it always seems to, again, show up as this brown little pixels, I guess, that are just throughout the whole picture that I can't use any color or any, you know, my limited photo quality to overcome. Can you help me understand that a little better?
Sure. No, I'm really glad you brought that up, because what's happening when you get to the end of the optical range of your zoom lens, which is the actual physical lens, the camera will often kick into what we're calling digital zoom. Now, first of all, this is off, many, many cameras will actually let you go into their little setup functions and turn that off if you want to avoid using it. And I personally do that, because what's happening is when you get to the digital zoom range, the camera's actually cropping in on the sensor and not using the whole thing and enlarging that area. But unlike when you crop later on at your computer or using a lot of the printing services that allow you to crop when you make prints, what you're doing is actually enlarging those pixels. So those brown spots you're seeing and all those other little splotches you're seeing are the actual pixels on the sensor. So it's sort of, your picture will get a little bit softer, so to speak. It won't look quite as sharp, and you will have a little bit more random flex of what we call noise, just those little brown pixels that don't seem to make any sense in your picture. What I would try if I were you, first of all, if you need that much zoom lens, that's quite a bit, because you already, that 12x zoom is, on that camera is really pretty remarkable already. But I would try turning off the digital zoom and cropping in on the image later on when you go to make your print.
Does the background or the difference in color on a picture make any difference? Is that just kind of regardless of whether you're looking at a landscape, you know, thousands of colors versus, you know, zoomed up on just, you know, something with a very similar background? Does that seem to make any difference or not?
I think it is going to make some difference, but I think in both of those cases, you're going to see those random bits of color that just don't seem to belong.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And we'll get to some more calls here in just a minute. Our guest today, Brian Carlos, store manager for the Camera Company on Odana Road in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Brian Carlos, store manager of the Camera Company in Madison. You can go online to their website at cameracompany.com. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for listening in, and give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Brian, Olympus, before we go back to the phones here, Olympus has got some kind of amazing new cameras, haven't they?
Yeah, they've done a few really remarkable little things with a couple of their compact cameras. One being a camera that is shockproof, because I can't tell you how often I see cameras that they're such small convenient things, they get mishandled very easily, and I see a lot of them that just get smacked and broken and dropped, and all sorts of things happen to them, or people's children get to them. Of course, kids are not too gentle with a lot of things. And a new camera from Olympus is not only waterproof to up to 33 feet underwater, is guaranteed to be shockproof to up to a 5-foot drop.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I more than once have knocked a camera of mine off a table, or watched my cat grab the camera strap and just drag it right off the table. And so, it would just be so nice to have a camera that I knew was not going to be harmed by that.
Now, what's the price range on that one?
That one, I believe, is around a $350 to $400 camera. So you're paying a little bit more than you would for a camera with the exact same features otherwise. But the reassurance of shockproof, and even if you don't take the camera underwater 33 feet deep, you drop it in the water, or you're canoeing, or you're doing something where it gets splashed or something gets spilled on it, having the reassurance of knowing that it's going to be just fine, I think, is
worth a lot.
Very comfortable. Yes, very comforting.
Herb in Wales, it's your turn now. Hi, Herb. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. Have an old camera. Absolutely know nothing about it. Received it through an inheritance. It's a Kodak has 10 plates in it. It's in a carrying case, about three quarters the size of a lunchbox, and it opens up, but I can't get it opened all the way because I think there's a couple pull tabs or something that would release the pull-out thing, and it doesn't want to pull out all the way, and so I didn't proceed any further. Can you tell me anything about it?
Yeah, so it's a sort of a folding front, or what we might call a drop bed camera, where the camera stays closed and it folds open, pulls out. And there's a little accordion style bellows that's right now folded up.
Business has the accordion business, right?
Sure. Wonderful old cameras.
I mean, if I could get it to work, I wouldn't be able to develop the pictures anyway, right?
There's an outside chance that if you worked real hard, you could get the pictures developed.
But you have to work real hard.
Yeah, but
just before movies were made, when they used to use the crank to make the movies.
Sure. It may not go back quite that far. My guess is it probably goes back to the 20s or 30s, although not knowing the exact size of it. Now, something you could do is this: I keep a certain reference book at the store. McCowan's is the name of the guy who compiled it. But it's a very nice thing if you're not anywhere near Madison. I've forgotten where you're at. You could, and you can't stop by the store. Your public library probably has a copy of this, and it will give you a nice little background on it. Because from what you told me, that style of camera was actually used for quite a long time, although in varying sizes. And some of them are actually quite valuable, although as a Kodak, Kodak made millions and millions of cameras. So it might also be a fairly commonplace one. I think they're just gorgeous old cameras to look at, though, especially if you can get it open and that bellows, the leather bellows, is still intact, because those are very nice.
Still intact, and the plates are like in a wooden frame, and they're probably 3.5 by 6.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
That sounds about right?
Yeah.
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 And now, what's the name of that magazine again, or book?
It's McCowan's.
McCowan's.
McCowns, I believe it's something like that.
Okay. So give a look there, Herb, and good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And Carolyn Hubertus is next. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I purchased a Pentax digital camera for Christmas, and they promised a $50 to $100 rebate. I sent in everything they required on their list, including our barcodes, and it was rejected, saying I had the incorrect barcodes, but I took them right off the boxes. So I'm protesting it, and they're supposed to be reviewing it, but I'm not too hopeful.
I wouldn't give up hope. Actually, a lot of these companies are more accommodating than you realize, especially Pentax. I've dealt with them for years. It's just that the whole process takes a long time.
Yeah.
I tell you what, why don't you send me an email, and I'll see if I can help you with that.
Okay.
My email is brian@cameracompany.com.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Liz is next in West Bend. Hi, Liz.
Hi there. Two questions. First of all, I've had a couple of stores tell me, you know, well, try it out in the store, and you know, you'll see what kind of pictures you get. But my feeling is I take most of my pictures out of doors. So how can I really tell what quality of picture I'm going to get with that camera taking an in-store picture?
I agree. Although most cameras perform fairly well out of doors, one of the things you can get a hold of either shooting a picture indoors or outdoors is how quickly the camera works and whether in that sense it's going to do what you need. I'd actually suggest to you that if the camera can perform well indoors for you, that it's going to probably do well enough outdoors. Although, at a shop like ours, what's nice about being in a small shop is it's not a very attractive location on the west side of town for photographing, even though it's not such a bad place. But we can actually step outside. You can get a better feel for what a long zoom lens can do for you and get an idea of whether or not that's going to do the trick for you. You know, if you regularly photograph softball games, let's say, you know, it's hard to tell whether that 12x zoom lens on that Canon digital camera is really going to be long enough to take pictures of people in the outfield.
Mm.
Think little things like that.
You can't really tell what quality picture you have until you print it. And the places I've gone to, it's not a case of, you know, well, why don't you take that picture and then I'll take it over to the printer and print it for you. It's just, you know, here's here's the camera, you can see what features it has, take a picture, but there's no printing involved.
Well, I tell you what, I can do that for you in our store, and actually, I agree with you 100%, because one of the things we give to you when you buy a camera from us is I have a little coupon for a bunch of prints, because we want you to see some really good prints right away.
Okay, great. And then the other question is just when you're looking at SLR cameras, I've been looking at a zoom, like I wanted to get a 12x zoom. The viewing screen on the back of those doesn't seem to be as large as you can get with some of the more compact. You know if they're coming out with some or have I missed?
Well, the latest generation of the compact digitals that do have the long zoom lenses have some decent sized screens. For some reason, most of those long zoom lens cameras, or so many of them, have used AA batteries rather than some sort of specialized rechargeable, which is both good and bad. But because that screen requires more power than anything else the camera does, I think they maybe extend the battery life by keeping the screen a little smaller.
Okay.
Oh, that's why they do it, sure. Thanks, Liz.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And Keith and Nina, you are next. Kathy. Kathy and Nina, hello.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
I was calling kind of as a comment to the woman who called maybe 10 minutes ago regarding buying a less expensive digital camera, or her daughter needed to buy a less expensive digital. And my husband decided as a gift he would buy a less expensive camera for our teenage son, for obvious reasons. And anyway, we bought a Canon PowerShot A530. Not a terribly expensive camera. I don't know exactly what it was, but I know it wasn't really expensive. And I took it with me recently on a trip out west. Before I had read the accompanying instruction manual, I took several pictures doing things backwards. And even using the camera in that way, I was able to get some absolutely marvelous portrait shots, primarily indoors, but nonetheless, very excellent. I was pleasantly surprised. And we do own a real large interchangeable lens digital camera, but it's so large, as I said, and bulky that it would have been just not convenient to use by any means or to travel with. But this little A530 is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. And a couple of things have happened. It's amazing how good the pictures are and how easy to use some of these relatively inexpensive cameras are. And not only Canon, although Canon is exemplary at this, just about every camera manufacturer out there now has made cameras very easy to use. They still like to add as many features as possible to attract more buyers' attention, but they've also, I think, done a remarkable job of making cameras not so confusing. Or at the very least, giving you like one little green button to push and start taking pictures.
Essentially. And yes, there are many, many settings on this camera and very many menu settings, along with some other icons on the back that I do not recognize and didn't get to in the book. But without even using those, I was so pleasantly surprised at the outcome of these photos. That's my only comment, and thank you for the show.
Well, I tell you, I know how to do, I can't tell you how many different things with cameras, but with my compact digital camera, it rarely gets taken out of the automatic mode, and it still does a remarkable job.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You know, earlier you mentioned a low-cost SLR camera on the air, and someone called in and missed the name. Do you remember? I'm trying to remember, and I don't recall.
Now, as far as the SLRs go with the interchangeable lenses, it's actually really easy to get started in a camera like that right now for around $600.
Yeah.
You're a little bit limited in terms of the amount of lens you get, but it's nice because with a camera like this, you can later grow into more zoom lens. So that right now is what I would think of as relatively inexpensive for a camera like that.
Okay.
And just remarkably good.
Let's go to, let's see, Tom, I believe in Eau Claire is next. Tom, hello.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Quick question about image stabilization.
Sure.
I'm wondering if, and I'm looking at getting a new camera, trying to go a little higher end SLR, but I would need an SLR with image stabilization, and I'm curious as to whether or not that process that allows that to happen affects the image in any way. Over, well, say, for instance, if you use your image stabilization and taking a photo, how would it compare with a regular stable picture taken?
Well, I'm still a big fan of using a tripod.
Sure.
But image stabilization does seem to work remarkably well, incredibly well. It's just a somewhat expensive and heavy technology. It's going to make your camera quite a bit heavier. Or noticeably heavier at the very least. But really, it's something that's been in use for enough years that it's been perfected in such a way that it really doesn't seem to harm image quality at all.
Oh, it's encouraging. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And we finally have some open lines. Again, we'll get you on at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Let's go to Paul in Menominee next. Paul, hello to you.
Hi. I wanted to pass along some information about McEwen's camera guide that you had mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
It happens to be published in Grantsburg, Wisconsin, and it's the world's largest leading camera guide, and it covers cameras all the way back to the 1850s, and it gives you a pricing and so forth. It can be gotten, I think, from Centennial. Let's see, it's Centennial. I can give you the name of the outfit for people that are interested. Centennial Photo in Grantsburg, Wisconsin.
Centennial Photo, Grantsburg, Wisconsin. Thanks,
yes.
Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate it very much. All right, there you have it right here in Wisconsin. Ann in Fitchburg, it's your turn. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
I have a question where we've been talking this last hour about all the high-quality digital cameras that are, you know, getting more and more available for people to use because of the price. I'm wondering, I have a very nice film camera, a Leica R7, and I'm wondering if what the resale market is for cameras like those.
A little bit fickle, but actually you invested well in the first place. Because the Leica R series, the lenses are just remarkably good, and the camera's extremely well made. Leica never shortchanges you on anything, even though you sort of have to pay a premium to get those nice handmade German cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not exactly available yet, you might hang on to that camera for now and those lenses, because I bet in the not-too-distant future, you're going to be able to use those on a digital SLR.
Well, so you'll be able to take the digital camera and use all the great lenses with the Leica camera?
Yeah. Well, you know, Leica hasn't announced anything yet, but they have started developing some really remarkable digital cameras, and I think it's really only a matter of time before there is a digital SLR from them, and their lenses are, well, arguably the best available, so don't abandon it quite yet.
All right, I'll hang on. Thank you so much for your help.
Oh,
yeah,
well.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for calling. And on to Matt in Eau Claire. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks for calling.
I had a question about a outdoor or hunting and baseball games video camera for inexpensive and rugged. What price range and what brand should I look for?
Now, you may have caught me on the outdoor there, because one thing about video cameras, especially for the hunting, is that video cameras often seem to be very sensitive to moisture and really don't like a lot of humidity or a lot of moisture in the air. That said, though, the Canon video cameras that I have seen have been remarkably good, although there are a lot of really good video cameras on the market. One of the things in particular about Canon is an optics manufacturer. They have superb lenses on their cameras. But there are a lot of very good and pretty easy-to-use cameras, and I think, again, it's going to be a matter of finding the one that has, for instance, the right amount of lens for you. One of the neat things I've seen happen over the last several years is, as everything has shifted to digital video, the quality, the picture quality, even out of the most basic cameras, has just been remarkably good. It's just astounding to me.
And okay. you have a Casio, a small little Casio.
Yeah. Yeah,
describe that.
Oh, yeah. In my little Casio, and there are some compact digital cameras with long zoom lenses that will do video quality very much like the Casio that I use. It uses a style of video they call an MPEG-4. And that's just the computer terminology for the whole thing, but what it is it has regular TV quality, and it shoots at 24 frames a second, so it looks very smooth and very natural, much like a regular video camera would. And the other nice thing about it is you can, with that style of video, you can get up to an hour's video onto a 1 gigabyte memory card, which is now very inexpensive. So you may potentially be able to do what you're looking to do with your still digital camera, too.
And that's about $300.
Yeah, it's a $300 camera, so it's not a major investment.
And that was a Casio?
The particular one I'm referring to, yes, is a Casio. Although my camera has a short zoom lens, there are some others out there with really long zoom lenses, like those 10 or 12x zoom lenses we've been mentioning that will do that, too.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. And on to Adam in Eau Claire. Adam, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on, the kind of a stigma against the lesser expensive cameras of today. I think right now is actually a great time to get into digital photography, just based on the fact that you can really get photo quality pictures for, a camera that can cost you less, than $250, like the previous caller mentioned with the Canon. I used to actually work with a lot of these cameras a few years ago, and what you're seeing a few years ago costing you about $400 is actually quite affordable now. And I think this is becoming an age where the digital cameras are really going to replace the 35 millimeters by and far as affordability and just overall usefulness of the cameras. Any comments on that? Basically, my opinion is. A lot of these higher-end cameras where you're getting in the 8, 9, megapixels are really kind of over the top of what your average camera user really needs.
Yeah. I think you were saying that earlier, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Although, first of all, I'm amazed at the cameras I sold just a few short years ago for $1,000 that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole compared to a $200 camera of today, given all sorts of different features. And the reason to buy some of those more expensive compact digital cameras, again, though, has nothing to do with the megapixels. They're all going to have enough. And there's a lot of other neat little features that can be very, very effective. Image stabilizing can be very helpful. And it's in the compact cameras, it can be a little bit different and in some ways more effective than what you see in the SLR cameras that have it. New technology like face detection technologies, which is very similar to facial recognition technology that's been in use in the past, but they're building it into cameras in such a way to help you improve your chances of getting really good pictures of people. Because one of the traditionally bad photographs we always see is a picture of two people standing next to each other and the camera decided to focus on the background, which is what happened to be right in the center of the frame. Well, technology like this face detection technology that we're starting to see in a lot of newer cameras helps alleviate that problem because it actually recognizes that there are human faces in the picture.
That's amazing.
By doing things like measuring the distance between the eyes and the mouth and knowing that that's a face there. Nikon claims its cameras will recognize up to 10 faces in a picture and optimize its focus and exposure for the 10. Others claim to do it the fastest. But there are things like that, so you can certainly get benefits from more expensive cameras, but what you get out of relatively inexpensive ones now is just amazing.
Thanks very much for calling. Brian, thank you so much. Always
thank you.
A pleasure.
Oh, had a great time.
We'll have you back. Brian Carlos is store manager for the camera company at 6742 Odana Road in Madison. And just go online, take a look at their website at cameracompany.com. And he'll be back and we'll do this again. Thanks, Brian. Coming up, we're going to be talking about preventing and treating dental disease with Dr. Lowell Lakritz. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.